He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
As the Ebola crisis in Africa continues and concerns ramp up in the United States, a pharmaceutical company, Sarepta Therapeutics, is ready to respond with, albeit a limited amount of a potentially promising new drug. My guest today is Patrick Iverson, who developed this, and he's here to tell us everything he knows about it. Patrick, thanks for coming on the show, and tell me, let's start with, is this a drug for treatment or is this a vaccine?
This is a drug for treatment or post-exposure prophylaxis.
Great. So I read that this drug was kind of found accidentally, as most brilliant things in medicine are. Can you tell me about how this was discovered?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing is that my role has been one of the lead scientists, and there's a whole team of people that developed this drug, so I make sure everyone gets credit that it's a big effort to do such a thing. The accident was actually an investigator, and it's one element of why we should develop drugs for these emerging infectious diseases. There was a researcher at the United States Army Research Institute for Infectious Diseases, or USAMRID as we like to call it, working in a high-containment laboratory with the Ebola virus. They were actually doing an animal experiment when they were to administer the virus to the animal, and it was a mouse. The mouse kicked the hand as she was preparing to inject it with a needle in it, bumped the needle in it, poked it in her finger. So a very dense population or rich concentration of virus came into contact with her blood, and because there really weren't any options, they called my office and asked, is there anything we could do? So we actually designed the drug and manufactured it all in a period of 5 days. And
That's pretty incredible.
We also had a conference call with the FDA so that we had authorization to use it for compassionate use in this case, because there really weren't any options. And so we delivered the drug 5 days later. One of the stipulations was that this patient would need to show signs. In other words, there had to be obvious risk before we could give the drug to provide benefit. And that person never developed a virus in their blood, so we really never used the drug. But that's how the program got started.
And that was 11 years ago.
That was in 2004, yes.
So what happened to that drug? Did it go sit on a shelf for 10 years?
Not really. The technology, and it's actually the platform of technology that Sarepta Therapeutics is developing, is one referred to as antisense. So if you think of the messenger RNA that encodes proteins as the sense strand, we synthesize a small piece that would bind to that sense strand. They call that the antisense molecule. And the design is quite simple in the sense that you need to know the sequence of the messenger RNA to create the antisense drug. So, for example, we know that A pairs with T and G pairs with C, so we simply follow those rules, a few more rules about how they work, and so the design is something that happens pretty fast. Manufacturing uses the same chemical process all the time to make a short polymer. And then that polymer binds to the messenger RNA, and it prevents the function, in this case, of the virus's messenger RNA that encodes a protein called VP24.
Well, you lost me at sense and antisense, but I get the gist of it. Then that's okay. It's not easy stuff for most people that haven't taken a genetics class or studied DNA or RNA, but where are you with this drug? Where are you in terms of phase testing, and how far from giving it to humans are you, or is it being held up because that's what we do in this country, hold up promising agents?
Well, it turns out that we spent the last decade or so improving on demonstrating its efficacy, sort of improving little characteristics of the drug, and that for the last, say, 5 or 6 years, we've been pursuing a pathway where we opened a document with the FDA to pursue down the approval pathway. It's called an investigational new drug application. We mm-hmm. opened that, and for diseases that don't occur in the United States, like Ebola, except for very rare cases now, the FDA has a program to allow for a drug to be approved under what they call the animal rule. And this was enacted by Congress because there was a need for ethical drugs that might be used by people that travel, for example, to places where emerging infectious diseases occur. And the idea of the animal rule is that since you couldn't do a phase 3 efficacy trial in the United States, you would do a phase 1 healthy volunteer study in the United States, and then you would do your pivotal studies in an animal model that mimics the disease of the human. And it turns out that non-human primates die from Ebola very much like humans do, and so the idea would be that we would conduct our pivotal studies in non-human primates. So we've conducted five studies in non-human primates, and we've seen an average survival of 75% where all the untreated animals died. So it's a very impressive difference or benefit. We've definitely targeted a very conserved region of the virus. There's no real evidence of any resistance mechanism yet. We've done GLP, or this sort of high-quality toxicology testing, which would include things like genotoxicity and safety issues and 28-day dosing, which is more aggressive than any strategy we have. And people to just push the envelope for toxicity, we haven't seen any signals, and we've conducted a phase 1 study in healthy volunteers. So as it turns out, we have enough drug on hand mm-hmm. in a sterile filled vials that are labeled for 20 courses of therapy under an emergency use protocol that has been submitted to the FDA. And that 20 courses is available immediately. And then we have enough sort of raw materials or building blocks to synthesize another 250 courses of therapy in the order of 3 to 6 months. And that if need be, we could push forward with an additional 750 courses that could become available in 6 to 9 months. So
it's ready to go. So has it been used? And I mean, we know there have been people treated in the United States. We know they've received treatments, but we're not told what they've received. Have they received your drug, or is it someone else's?
They have not received our drug yet. And as it turns out, we've been a little bit cautious about that because mm-hmm. in those patients, there have been sort of polypharmacy thrown at those patients. So sure. It would be very difficult to determine both the risk side and the benefit side when you have so many agents been tried that are all experimental at the same time. And ours has not
right.
been.
You won't know which. It would be nice to do a double-blind placebo-controlled, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that. In the last minute, can you just tell listeners where they can go to read more about your drug?
I think probably the best place would be to go to the Sarepta website. That is sarepta.com. And you would see that there's also an advanced stage drug using almost the exact same technology for Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Got it. So thank you very much for coming on the show. Yeah, we were talking with Patrick Iverson, professor in the College of Agricultural Sciences at Oregon State University, also working with Sarepta Therapeutics. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.